Blog Talk Radio.
Alabama.
There's an iron skillet there at that Petro, and boy, I gotta tell you, that was the best damn food I've ever eaten.
Well, that was worth the wait then. Worth thinking it was a mirage.
and just in case you can't find hell, if I know Alabama, I do know that it's exit 299 on the 65 in Alabama. So if you... if you can't find hell if I know, then you know you can go to exit 299. But I'll tell you what, that was the best meal I've ever had in a long time.
Is that anywhere near Cumbie?
Yeah, actually, where did we see Cumbie? I'm asking. I know my co-driver just said, "Hell, if I know again, I'm gonna say, God, it was right there, and we didn't even know it." Yeah, now he's proclaiming that he was sleeping. Well, you know what he really was doing back there in the sleeper, but. I mean, you're sleeping. I know better. This truck rocks way too much.
Well, before we move on, I do want to give a shout-out to the people who supplied us with our intro and outro music again, which was Larry Gromer and Josh Guild of the Rupert Duncan Band.
All righty. Go ahead and give them a shout-out.
Shout-out.
And then I'd match you up. You're sitting there, what? What the hell are you talking about? I told you I'm in the middle of a couple of things here, so I might not be paying attention all the time. But that, when would that be any different, right?
Is Cumbie in Alabama?
Yeah, Cumbie's in Alabama, and I believe that Cumbie was originated in Alabama. So maybe Cumbie is what the code name for the sperm of Cumbie, huh?
Or a second cousin twice removed.
Yeah. With those teeth.
Speaking of Cumbie, I have advice for men and women on how to ask for oral sex.
Really? I just find it being outright and just straight up and say, hey, give me a blowjob, would you?
You're so full of shit. I know you're not like that. You're like courting the woman for 4 months before you even ask her for a kiss or to hold her hands.
Oh, I'm shy. You know, nobody believes that I'm shy. You know, it's so funny. I don't get it. Nobody will believe me that I'm shy.
He really is. He really is. So here's some do advice for men. Be extremely nice for at least 2 full weeks prior to asking for it.
Oh, I'm fucked. I can't be nice for 2 full minutes. What do we mean, 2 full weeks?
Do gauge her mood carefully. Pick a day when she is feeling good.
Is that ever in reality?
Depends on the woman and that time of the month. Do not ask on a day that she has had a bad day at work, feels sick, had a bad talk with her mother, feels fat, hair didn't turn out right, feels bloated, or is too cold or hot.
Well, you know, maybe if she's not in the mood, maybe if the man performs oral first.
Well, I'm thinking with all those things they just mentioned, that doesn't leave many of the days left open. It says, do consider giving her a nice present. Don't attach a present to your penis. Do take her to dinner.
It's chocolate, buddy.
Do take her to dinner. Do not take her to a seafood restaurant. When actually asking for oral sex, make every other word please. Don't phrase your question in a disgusting way. For example, can I wash out your mouth with my man soap?
Oh, I think that would be fun.
Or the guy who's blow drying his penis, and the wife says, what are you doing? And he says, warming your dinner for you.
That's
not the right thing, guys. Do beg if necessary. It will probably be necessary. Don't wear that shirt that she hates because you're wearing it that time you were acting like an asshole in front of those stupid friends of yours. And she'll remember. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. That's the one thing. I think women are half elephants.
They remember everything.
No shit.
Along with Scorpios. don't think you can get away with making out for a while, then pushing down on the top of her head. Does every guy not do that?
I'm sorry, I was in the middle of something there, and it wasn't fun.
Oh, you missed that one?
I missed it.
Oh, don't think you can get away with making out and then pushing down on the top of her head.
that usually works, though.
Now, this is even funnier. Advice for women. Ask politely and point your finger in a downward direction. That's it.
That's sad.
It says, also asking impolitely is fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's how you get the best results, so I wasn't wrong with all that talk. You know, everybody was probably expecting Mauricio today, and
exactly.
And he got a hold of us last minute and said he was sick. I wonder if he does that for his TV show.
He said he had a cold and the flu, and he's starting his tour shortly, so he needed to preserve his voice.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, we'll see. Is Mauricio starting to get too big for us now?
He just might be. No, I remember the last time he was on the show, he was pretty talkative.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, you know, I really like the guy, so this really surprises me that he called off in the last minute like this, really.
Well, he did ask to reschedule, and we had already uploaded all his MP3s, so we'll have him on probably in November, first part of November.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have one of his MP3s uploaded?
I do. Do you want to play one?
Yeah, why don't we play one so that way that everybody that did tune in for Mauricio wanted to hear him will at least hear him.
Okay, this is his new one, I believe. It's called I Who Have Nothing, and I'm not sure if this is a live performance. I think he said something about having done it live. I haven't listened to this yet, so you'll be as surprised as we will be. I'm going to play it now, I Who Have Nothing.
I have nothing.
are back. That was Mauricio Herrera, I Who Have Nothing.
You know why? I think his voice has gotten a whole lot better since, you know, last hearing him too. You know, all that practice, it does help.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, you know, he's always been good, but I think he's really improved a lot.
Yeah, he's a great showman, too. If anybody doesn't know who Mauricio Herrera is, he was a finalist on America's Got Talent.
Yeah, it was about 3 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was the same year that Manuela Warren was on.
Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's an awesome performer.
Yeah, he is. You know, I think the only reason why he really didn't, I think the main reason why he didn't win is too many people didn't get it.
His stage performance,
They just didn't get it because he was performing like they do in Latin America, you know, and I know that from experience from when I spent 2 years down in Mexico performing.
Right, a lot of people thought he was over the top instead of taking that into consideration.
Yeah, and that's just the way it is down there. That's the way, you know, Latin performers perform in those countries. You're kind of like over the top and a little extra, you know, because you know, you really want to put on a really good show where everybody gets a good laugh and enjoys themselves, you know. You know, and not only is he a good singer, he's a funny man. You know, he's a good comedian as well. You know, he's just really funny.
Well, that's why he's so good to watch, because he entertains you and he's got so much energy.
Yeah, that he does. Trying to figure out what this trucker's doing here. I don't want to pull out and then he backs into me. I'm just waiting for him here.
Now, is your GPS one of those talking ones?
Yeah.
So it annoys the hell out of you, like this British bitch on this channel?
No, it's some. Her name is Lisa, it says. And she doesn't speak very good English, I know that. Even though it's supposed to be English, and she like, yeah, you know how you'd say, so you tell somebody, well, take this exit, right? You'd say take this exit. No, she goes take exit, And I love it when we got different directions from Pam than what she wants us to go, and we decide to do the you know, from our company, we decide to go the directions of our company and not follow her. She starts freaking out. And she said a new command today I've never heard her say before. She said, turn around.
Doesn't that just say redirecting or whatever the heck the GPS would say?
It was funny, man.
Recalculating.
You know, she'll recalculate and then she'll come up with something else and she'll want us to go this way. We go past it and she'll go, turn around.
She's throwing a temper tantrum. Turn around. She's Miss Whiny Pants.
Yeah, no kidding. So we're going to get ready to get on the road here. So if you hear a lot of background noise, that's just the truck and me trying to shift it. You know, and sometimes it's not very easy in this traffic.
Well, I found another study today on 7 things you won't believe actually make you happy.
I only know one thing that makes me happy.
Well, this is science speaking. This isn't this isn't Michael Knight. This is science speaking. Now, you will not believe number 7. Are you still there, Michael?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just watching to make sure I don't crash into anything.
Okay, number 7 is actually watching sad movies.
Watching sad movies?
Yeah, makes you happy.
Oh, really? Yeah, everybody else's misery makes me feel a lot better.
when you look at the list of best picture winners from the past 25 years, you know, like Schindler's List, Braveheart, The English Patient, Titanic, Million Dollar Baby, those are The King's Speech. Those are really sad movies.
They are?
And
I thought they were pretty funny.
You thought those movies were funny?
I thought they were comedies, man.
What they refer to them as is tear porn, building to climaxes that are specifically designed to make you weep in public. On the surface, this makes about as much sense as giving out awards to the year's saddest funerals or most embarrassing schoolyard beatings. So the scientists, because they were curious about this, conducted a study involving a few hundred participants and the 2007 film Atonement. Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't.
Okay, supposedly very sad. I haven't seen it either. It says the theater staff are required to keep water and salt tables on hand to stem the dehydration death toll. Oh, please. Really? That's got to be a joke.
Scary.
Before starting the movie, the researchers asked the participants how happy they were with their lives in general, including their goals. Okay, well, this kind of makes sense. Their goals, their relationships, and ever-looming possibility of being stricken with sudden and inexplicable cancer. As Atonement squeezed all the tears from their faces over the next 120 minutes, they were asked the same question three more times. After the movie was over, the researchers asked the participants to rate their emotions. They found that the participants had become happier after getting to see everybody else suffer. So they felt like their lives weren't so sad.
Jeez. That's sad.
Now, number six, eating red meat is supposed to make you happy. We've reached the point in the war on fast food where studies are now claiming that red meat will try to murder you. In fact, as I know from experience, when you're trying to lose weight, that's the first thing that your doctor's going to tell you to cut out of your diet is red meat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but men especially are going to argue that point and say that, you know, if they died while eating a steak, at least they'll die happy.
No, I mean, there's only one way I would die happy. That's true. What can I say?
They actually.
I keep trying to talk this girl into having sex with me. She says, "I'm afraid I'll kill you." I said, "At least I'll die with a smile on my face."
Well, they're actually saying, and maybe these go hand in hand with what you're saying, that the red meat is actually important to your mental health. So, are you eating enough red meat on the road?
Is pussy considered red meat? It's pink.
Oh, yeah. Really, dude? You had to go there. And I know you're not getting any, so don't even carry on with this cult. It makes enough of a difference that consuming less than the recommended amount, or zero, actually doubles your risk of depression. Wow, that's pretty... That's a pretty stellar difference right there. Doubles your risk of depression if you don't eat at least the recommended amount.
Really?
Yep. The study followed 1,000 Australian women tracking their eating habits and their emotional health. Now, this ought to be interesting. What did they find? They then made sure to take into account all other factors, including socioeconomic status, physical health, weight, age, and the fact that they live in Australia. Like, how depressing could that be? They even kept track of much of the other types of food they ate, such as chicken, fish, and vegetables. Even with all these taken into consideration, the researchers still found that the women who ate the recommended amount of red meat, which is, for those of you who want to know, between 2 and 4 ounces 4 times a week, that's a lot, were much likely to be depressed. Well, that explains a lot. I'm even going to go out and buy roasts. Wrinkle fat steaks and start eating more red meat.
All right.
Number five is keeping your mind busy. Well, I mean, that makes perfect sense. Do I even need to expound on that? I mean, if you're idle and you don't have anything, your mind goes to all the bad, depressing places. You know, don't you?
Right.
Oh, number four is a surprising one, though. It's getting into fights. Most people who are dicks on purpose. Human beings have the raw urge to be aggressive and start fights, even if they know they are likely to absorb as many or more punches than they actually inflict. It's why we love wrestling and MMA so much as kids. But is there an extremely unsettling explanation for this obvious fact? Does it really require one? Not with guys, right?
Right.
Why do you eat your ass, Carrie and Michael? Because the answer is that as far as your brain is concerned, fighting is exactly as awesome as sex. Really?
That's strange, huh?
Scientists hypothesize that aggressive behavior triggers the release of dopamine, which, as we've covered, is the body's way of dangling a carrot in front of our faces. Well, I mean, that makes sense, because you know you can have soft love or have mad, passionate, heated sex that, you know, you got people that are into S&M and, people that verge on the S&M and hair pulling and spanking of asses. This year,
yeah.
Interested in an aggression study on mice. How do you test that on mice? A home male mouse in one cage and a few intruder male mice in another cage. The home mouse began the experiment with a little girlfriend mouse, but the researchers removed the female and replaced her with one of the intruder mice. The home mouse responded by beating the ever-loving crap out of the intruder. Yeah, but because if you were with your girlfriend and she left and a guy came in, yeah, that makes total sense. They took the intruder out and put him in his own cage, which the home mouse could open at any time by pressing a button. And press the button he did continuously to keep rodent punching the son of a bitch that stole his girlfriend. But he was rodent punching him because he stole his girlfriend, not because he got the same dopamine. Well, actually, probably did get the same dopamine rush as sex. Okay, what's the next one?
I don't know. What's the next one?
Riding the subway? Are you kidding me? That would seem stressful as shit. Nobody.
And that's supposed to be what?
Riding the subway. Have you ever ridden the subway?
Yeah, in San Francisco.
Isn't it? Well, no, that's the BART in San Francisco. That's above ground.
What? No, this was underground.
They have underground now? I haven't been there in years.
Yeah.
I don't know. They had the BART when I was there, and that was, and it didn't go underground when I was there, but that was over 20 years ago. It says, nobody likes the subway. Even the thought of boarding an underground train is a nightmare. Awkwardly sitting next to a muttering pit-stained strangers as you struggle to keep your eyes from lighting on anyone else for even a moment. It's a cramped metal coffin in a shallow grave where even the air smells crazy. Yeah, you know what? I have total claustrophobia. I would hate riding the subway. I could not do New York, I don't think.
it's kind of scary, you know.
It's what?
It's kind of scary.
Yeah, no.
But I can handle that better than I can handle bridges in the truck.
Oh, yeah, that would scare me, too.
You know, it's like, you know, that freaks me out. You know, some bridges are okay, but when they get way the hell up there, and then especially if it's over water, that really freaks me out.
Yeah, I don't even like driving next to you guys. Anyways, it says, pissing gallantly in the face of all logic and reason, researchers in Sweden discovered that riding the subway can actually make you happy. I don't know if that's because of their study or Swedish people are just backward. They recruited participants who isn't it Swedish people who live in really tight quarters? Isn't it the Swedes that IKEA comes from? And that's where they got all their ideas for, was because they're all forced to live in real tight apartments?
I think so.
I know. So they're used to tight spaces. Participants who usually drove to work and made them change their routine to a daily subway ride instead for an entire month. Okay, but this makes sense. I mean, this doesn't take a genius. They didn't have to do the driving and deal with traffic. So that relieved them for that hour or so ride to work. Before the month began, the researchers asked each person questions about their lives, their well-being, and generally how happy they were with their station in the world, presumably weeding out those who might be a little too fragile for the purposes of the study. They also asked the participants how they were feeling about riding the subway. Without exception, all of them felt like it was going to be a nightmare. But that's not what happened. Over the course of the month, their moods and attitudes towards the subway slowly but steadily improved, like a tortoise nursing an erection for sustainable behavior. So much so that by the time they reached the end of the month, the participants were feeling better about their general well-being than before the experiment began. And it also made them feel more content about their lives. So, I think it's because they had reflection time and they didn't have the stress of traffic, you know? Number two, doing chores. I think that's just an exerting energy thing if I had to guess, because I hate chores. But after I'm done, I feel accomplished, and I feel like, you know, things are more organized. And what's your guess on that one?
You know, I don't know. I hate doing anything, but, you know, that's because I'm a guy, you know, and us guys are lazy, you know.
Right.
But I enjoy, like, the driving. Like, I'll tell you, this job to me is really relaxing. Matter of fact, it's so relaxing, sometimes I try to fall asleep while I'm driving.
Well, and also you got to keep in mind that you were pent up for, you know, how long without a vehicle.
Yeah.
And this, you know, for you, this is like, ah, flying.
Yeah, you know, that is one thing, though, that I am planning here is with this is, you know, I've been in this truck now for almost 3 months. And, you know, living out of a truck, you know, I live out of motels, you know, that's all right. You know, you got your bathroom, your shower, you got your TV, you got your internet, you got everything. Living out of a truck is definitely a whole different experience. I mean, you know, of course, it's not that big, you know, and then we're a team, so, you know, there's two of us living out of this truck.
Right.
And so if you don't like each other, you're really fucked, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And that was what was happening the very first co-driver I had. You know, we could get by, you know, dealing with each other, but, you know, there was no, you know, like, friendship going to form there, no way, no how, you know. So the new co-driver I got, of course, you know, we kind of got to know each other through the school and through the orientation and everything else. So we already kind of know what each other are like, and we get along well. So that's a big plus. And it's been a lot better now than it has before. You know, this co-driver, you know, I trust a whole lot more, so I'm able to get sleep, which was something I wasn't getting before. You know, before I was getting maybe about 2 hours of sleep a day.
Right.
You know, and then trying to drive for 11 hours, and that's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, it really is.
So now, you know, I've got a co-driver where I at least fall asleep.
Yeah.
He goes on brushing because I'm talking so good about it.
I was going to say, are you sure your co-driver's not a woman?
Yeah, I wish.
Well, you know, actually, this study that they did on the housework or the chores improving your mood actually is geared more towards men. It says the more chores that the men help with, the happier they are, because when they see their wives doing the housework by themselves, they feel guilty about not helping out. So if they get off the couch and they help out, they feel more contributing, which I would think in turn then would make the wife happy because she's getting help. So there you have that.
Oh, man, I guess that's where I keep messing up. I just sit and watch. I go out and work all day long, you know. You can do something to the house.
I don't want to do dishes and make a sandwich when I get home, damn it.
Yeah, isn't that the woman's job to begin with? Yeah.
There you go. And there in itself is to reach the forest, Michael.
And that's why I've been saying over 20 years.
Now, the number one is really going to surprise you. Thinking about death makes you happy. You know, that's such a crock of shit. I hate thinking about death. Says death is a
really?
Difficult thing to wrap your mind around. Yes, I it certainly doesn't make me happy, and I don't constantly think about it.
Oh, I do.
Oh, does it make you happy?
Well, yeah, because then I can get some rest finally, you know.
Says you're dead much longer than you are alive. Your existence is temporary, and your non-existent permanent. It's a tough concept to reconcile. And there's no possible way it can be anything but depressing, except when you're looking at it as the glass is half full, you know? As you say, it's permanent. You're dead longer than you are alive. That's awesome. I love death.
Well, you know, it's like, see, all my family dies young compared to most people's families. You know, none of my family lived past mid-60s, So, you know, I'm only in my mid-50s, so I'm thinking, well, I've got 10 to 15 years left, okay? So I don't have that much time left, and so I'm going to make the most of it while I've got it left, you know? But you know, the fact of dying really does. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not gonna like go out and stop, you know, run out in front of a train or something like that and get myself killed. But you know, I'm not afraid of death either. And part of that I think falls back to when I was touring in Mexico. I got very, very ill, and I actually believe that I died because I was in a whole different place, you know, and I saw relatives of mine that I knew were dead. And they kept asking me why I was there.
Wow.
You know, and I was saying, well, I don't know, I'm just here, you know. And then they told me I couldn't stay, that I had to come back. Because at that time, my two oldest children, their mother died in an accident. And so I was having to raise them on my own. And they said, well, you have to go back. You have to take care of the kids, you know. You can't stay here. Go back. So when I did wake up from this, whether it be a hallucinating dream or whatever, when I did wake up from all of this, I was completely healed of the illness that I had. I mean, I no longer was ill. And so, you know, I really believe that, you know, that I did die and that, you know, I ended up, you know, in heaven or whatever this place was. And that, you know, I was sent back and I was healed in the process. So that's why
I've heard a lot of stories that are similar to that, Michael.
And you know, and so I don't fear death at all because I already know what it's going to be like.
Well, I think that makes a big difference. You know, when you've had a near death experience and you recall it, I think that makes a big difference. And really, the only solace I get in death is knowing that my dad's there. So in that way, I'm less scared. I don't want to say I'm not scared. I'm less scared, you know?
Right.
But then I start thinking and I'm like, what if it's nothing that I've been taught or like I think it's going to be and we just die and we're dead.
I don't believe that. I believe that we do go to someplace else. But, you know, it also made me a disbeliever in hell. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in a fire and brimstone hell.
No, I don't.
And the reason why I say that is just because when I did, what I think, died, and was there, and some of the people I saw, I know some of those people sure in hell shouldn't have been in heaven.
Right.
You know, if there was a fire and brimstone hell, that's where they should have been.
Right.
And not because, you know, they were super bad people, but because, you know, our religion tries to scare the shit out of you and say, well, if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell. And if you
right.
don't do that, you're going to go to hell. And I just really, you know, I just don't believe in that concept of a fire and brimstone hell.
So according to what you have been indoctrinated with, you had seen these people engaging in things that should have made them go to hell. Not necessarily that they were murderers or rapists, but, I mean, really, our religions don't give us a whole lot of leeway as far as, you know, what we have to do in order to send us straight to hell. I have a pimped-out handbasket waiting for me.
So, you know, I don't have that fear of death, you know. Like I said, I'm not going to go out and step in front of a train and get killed or something on purpose, but I don't have that fear of death either, you know. And you know, I guess this sounds kind of weird, and people always look at me and think I'm freaking nuts when I say this shit, but it's like, you know, I've pretty much done everything that I've wanted to do in life. You know, I'm one of those people that have been very, very fortunate to be able to get to do a lot of my dreams. You know,
right.
And not everybody is that fortunate, you know, and I know that, you know. There's a lot of people that, you know, they haven't even touched, scratched the surface of their dreams, and they're my age, they're older, you know. And you know, I've been really fortunate because everything I've ever wanted to do, with the exception of one thing, there's only one thing left that I want to do.
What's that?
If they told me to make a bucket list, they only have one item in it because I've done everything else I want
to
do.
What, to buy a bucket?
I want to play in the World Series of Poker main event. That's the last thing. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot you played poker for money.
Yeah.
And you're good. I forgot the times you won.
Yeah, I won several times, you know.
Wow.
I was actually in a tournament one time with Jerry Yang, who is about maybe 3-4 years ago, I think it was. He won the World Series of Poker main event. you know, and I was in a tournament with him, and he knocked me out, and when I got up to leave the table, he got up, he came over, and he shook my hand, and one of the things he said to me, and it really it shocked me, he said, you know, he says, I'm really surprised I don't see you on the pro circuit. He says, you're really good, you know. And I would love to play poker professionally and not have to do nothing else. That would,
yeah,
that would
don't
be
you
awesome.
Make like hundreds of grand winning those things? Millions?
Millions a year.
Oh my God.
You know, and you know, I think that I would be able to do that, you know. And you know, that's the main thing. I just want to get a chance to play in that main event. But the main event costs you $10,000 to get
in. I was
going to
say, don't you have to buy in? That, wow, that's
yeah
that's a lot
$10,000.
You have to be able to lose $10,000.
Yeah, and not be nervous about losing it too.
Exactly.
You know, because if you get if the nerves get at you, then you're done for. You know, you gotta you know, be relaxed. And I found too, you know, in the past when I play tournaments, when I win, it's on those days where I'm extremely patient, which is far and few between. and then I'm relaxed. You know, I would say 90% of the tournaments I've entered, I've always at least made it to the money payout.
Wow.
You know, and so the World Series of Poker, it's actually an easier tournament than the tournaments I've been in, because the tournaments that I've been playing in at like local casinos like the Bicycle Club in L.A. and the Commerce Casino in L.A., all these other different ones, the blind levels change every 20 minutes. With the World Series of Poker, the blind changes occur, if I remember correctly, it's every hour. So you have a longer amount of time before, you know, it costs you more to get into a hand,
right,
to make sure that you can choose good hands to get into to play.
Right.
And you know, and if you make it to the money, even if you just make it only just to the money, you double your money. So your $10,000 becomes $20,000.
Right.
I'm almost certain that I would make it to that point no matter what.
Yeah, I'm sure too.
If you make it to the final table, not even won yet, you're just the last nine standing, you're guaranteed $1 million. You know, that's a lot of money, you know, and still not a one.
Yep.
You know, but I think if I ever got the opportunity to play in the World Series main event, that I would at least make the money, so I'd double up my money, and then with that, then I could start entering some of these other tournaments, you know, and be a little bit more comfortable, because I'd have a $20,000 bankroll, $30,000 bankroll to go by, you know, to get started to play these, because a lot of these tournaments, you know, they run, you know, between $2,000 and $5,000, the ones the pros play in. And, you know, and the payouts, you know, the winnings on those are usually, you know, anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000.
Wow.
You know, and you don't have that many people in those tournaments. There's not that many of that kind of money to throw away. Now, you do have a lot of people that enter the main event, and it's because I think of the rivalry of the main event. You know, it's such a big deal, you know. That everybody, you know, everybody wants to be in on that. And they have thousands and thousands of people who enter, you know, that main event. You know, one year I think they had over 8,000 people.
Oh, wow, that many? And how many get knocked out pretty quick?
Yeah, a lot do, you know, because and it's because they don't play smart. That's the whole idea, but the thing about poker, you know, you got to play smart. If you don't play smart, you're gonna be screwed, you know. You're not gonna.
8,000 people, and they each pay $10,000 to buy in. That's like what? Million bucks.
That's like $80 million.
Oh my God.
$80 million.
And they can so afford to pay somebody $500,000 to win and still walk away half-tempered.
That year, the winner took home $12.5 million.
Wow. Well, we're going to have to add that to our list of things that make certain people happy and increase their dopamine.
Yeah, no shit. So, you know, so anybody out there that would like to front me $10,000 for next year's World Series main event, you know, I'll split whatever I win in half. Matter of fact, the guy who won the $12.5 million, His name is Jamie Gold. He's actually a producer out in Hollywood, and he's actually that TV series Hell on Wheels.
Yep.
He's one of the executive producers of that TV show. Well, anyway, he was the one that won when it was like almost 9,000 people in this thing, and he won $12.5 million. And he had I guess somebody else pay half the, you know, and then he paid the other half. So some other guy paid $5,000, and he paid $5,000, and he was going to split his winnings in half.
Right.
Well, there was a lot of stuff in the media right after that he was refusing to pay his friend half of the $12.5 million. He just wanted to give him his $5,000 back.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's not cool at all.
But, you know, as it went on, I think it was a lot of misinterpretation. A lot of people were really upset that he even won the tournament because he played so poorly.
Right.
You know, he won it off of pure dumb luck. He didn't win that tournament off of any skill whatsoever. He won that tournament off of pure dumb luck. And a lot of people were upset about it. And so I think there was a lot of nasty rumors started about him and that money and stuff,
right,
too, that weren't true.
Right, exactly. Of course. But that's going to happen, you know. The odds of that happening, it's going to happen at some point.
That's
maybe,
right.
Probably less often than more, but, you know, come on. There's a certain amount of luck involved, period. You know, I know you have to be a skilled player, but there's still luck involved.
Right. And a lucky person can win, you know, but that doesn't make them a good poker player. It just means
exactly.
They got lucky, you know.
Exactly. Let's take a brief intermission here, Michael, and I'm going to play Hugs and Kisses to My Baby from the Rupert Duncan Band, and then we'll come back and close out the show.
That sounds like a good idea, because my mouth is getting dry.
Get some water. 3 minutes, 48 seconds.
All right.
Wondering how this can be. I found some time to write this letter to let you know I'm still alive. I'm doing fine, but could be better if I was home by your side. So give a message to my daughter. Daddy's tough, he'll be alright. Say I'm always of her, she's the light of my life. Give hugs and kisses to my baby. Hold her close and let her know that she's my special little lady, and I'll be home to watch her grow. Black and white. that girl myself. Give hugs and kisses to my baby. Hold her close and let her know that she's my special little lady. And I'll be home to watch her grow. Give hugs and kisses to my baby. Let her know that she's my special little lady, and I'll be home to watch her grow. I'll be home to watch her grow. I'll be home to watch her grow.
And we're back with Michael and Carrie.
So how much time do we have left anyway?
We have 8 minutes left, Michael.
Oh, very, very short. So a couple things I wanna do is let everyone know that on the road, the videos are coming. Believe me, they are coming.
You keep saying that.
Yeah, well, if I ever get into a damn truck stop that has decent Wi-Fi so I can upload them, they'll be there.
And you'll update our website, too. Yay!
Yeah, one of these years. And, but I want to thank all the people that have been listening, because, I mean, our listening audience, I don't know what happened. Either they really missed us a lot, Or because of the name change of the show, or so, I don't know what it is, but we're averaging over 10,000 streamed listens per show.
I know, that's amazing.
And, you know, that's 10 times what we were getting before.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and that was combined. So yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and so you know, I want to really thank everybody who's listening to the shows. You know, it makes me feel like at least we're entertaining, you know, entertaining people well, for that many people to keep coming back each week to listen. And you know, it just is really nice to see that jump in listenership. And I just want to let everybody know I really appreciate them all, you know, stopping in and listening to the shows.
And one of my friends from Facebook is in the chat room, Hap. Shout out to Hap.
Cool. And, you know, we just want to keep having them keep coming back because, you know, we're going to have a lot of good stuff. You know, Mauricio, of course, he couldn't make it today, but he will be joining us later on this year. We also got Frank Nicotero, a lot of you people, you know, especially people, you know, our age that remember the TV show Street Smarts. He was the host of that TV show. He was also hosting on one of the Family Networks, The Game of Life. You know, so he does a lot of different hosting of different game shows as well as he's a stand-up comedian, funny guy, and a great guy, and a good friend of mine. And he's going to be joining us here real soon. He said he may have some new and exciting news when he joins us in November as well.
Awesome. And,
you know, and we've got a lot of other things that we're working on and trying to get people in. And
we've got
and,
our phone sex operator coming next week. Week after that, we have Josh Guild, one of the duos that wrote our intro and outro music. The week after that, we have CJ, I believe, coming on, who is an author, an erotic author. And Halloween, we have Warren Bubb, who is an actor who's played a lot of roles of, you would know him if you saw his picture. I saw him and I went, oh, he's been a cop in so many things, but very entertaining young man. So, yeah, we've got a lot of great books, our shows booked almost to the end of the year, actually, Michael.
That's really great. And I want to thank you, Carrie, for taking over the reins of being the producer of these shows and doing all that hard work because, you know, I was doing it for the last 3 years. I know how much work is involved, and I really appreciate it. You know, with me being on the road, it's made it really difficult. You know, not only are you having to produce the shows, but you're having to operate the studio. You're having to do everything, basically. I'm getting the easy job. You know, maybe you should be the host, and I should be the co-host. You know?
Oh, I like being in control.
Oh, yeah, I know that. But, you know, I do want to thank you for all your hard work on this because I do know how much work is involved, and it's greatly appreciated on my end.
No, you're very welcome, and I'm just grateful that we're back together doing the shows and having as much fun as and as big of a listenership as we do. So with that, we're going to take you out with our Not Late Night outro, and we will see you next Wednesday, same bat time, same bat channel.
Bye-bye.
Tune in next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time for another edition of Not Late Night with your hosts, Michael Knight and Carrie Francis. This has been a Michael Knight Entertainment.